Have so many visitors with us. We're glad that you're here. Hope that you can come back and be with us again whenever you're in the area. We have been studying on Sunday mornings a series in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to continue that this morning, looking at the book of Proverbs. Solomon spends a large amount of time talking to his son about who he spends time with. That doesn't sound too unusual for a parent to do, to talk to their children about who it is that they spend time with. And certainly there's a reason for that, because the people that we spend our time with are either going to make us or break us. And that was something that my parents told me all the time. And that we don't always realize how others rub off on us. We begin to speak the way that other people speak. When I was growing up, my younger sister, when she was little, if she ate something that she didn't like, she would say blick, you know, instead of yuck, she would say blick. And so that was something that we kind of picked up in our family. And if something didn't taste good, we would say that tastes blicky. And so Jarrell's kind of picked up on that too. And she was with some friends from work somewhere one time, and she said, "That tastes blicky." They didn't know what she was talking about. But she had picked that up from me, and I had picked that up from Jill. And we understand that sometimes we pick up phrases. We even see it in family sometimes. When we hear a son talk, we can say, "Well, I can really hear his father in him." Or I can really tell that they are of the same family. As soon as he opened his mouth and started talking, I knew, you know, what his last name was. So we do sometimes pick up things. And this assimilation really happens involuntarily. And it even happens with married couples. They begin to talk like one another. And if you know you've been married for any significant amount of time, you recognize that maybe you're a different person now than you were when you first became married, because you become so much like each other. So that's the reason why Solomon is saying that he wants to warn his son about his companions. If we are around those that are going to be a good influence on us, of course, that's not a negative thing. But many times, it's the negative influences around us that give us problems. So Solomon talks a lot in the book of Proverbs about problems with evil friends. The problem with evil friends is that we become a lot like them. And I know when I was in junior high and high school, and even before that, there were people that my mother didn't want me to hang around. In fact, one place that we lived, there was a next-door neighbor, and we were not allowed to go play with that boy. His name was Prince Page, and we were not allowed to go play with Prince. And because he was always getting into trouble, and she didn't want us getting into that same kind of trouble. She saw a reason that we don't want you to become like that. And we have a saying that you are what you eat. And Solomon says, you are who you spend time with. And in chapter 13, in verse 20 of Proverbs, it says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." So it is going to matter who it is that you hang around with. If you hang around fools, you're going to become like a fool. If you are around the wise, hopefully the wise person is going to rub off on you as well. So these proverbs are very useful and very practical to us, because it's very easy to understand this meaning. It's exactly what our parents have tried to teach us for years. That the implied meaning here is that we expect that whoever is going to be around those who are wise, you're going to become like that. We understand that in our places of work. If we understand that there's a person that has a great understanding of a piece of software or whatever it might be, we want to be around that person, see if we can pick up some of what they have learned. Or maybe they're very good in sales and they've been very successful in whatever field it is that they're in. And if we're smart, you know, we want to be around that person. We want to learn what it is that they know so that we can become successful like them. And when it comes to spiritual things, it's very, very important, as Solomon points out here, this contrast that if you are going to be around wise people, you are going to become wise, but whoever walks with fools is going to become a fool. It also says in verse 20 of chapter 13, the companion of fools will suffer harm. So there is danger there to be around the fool. You are going to suffer harm if you are around them. So that is the problem with evil friends. Number one is that we become like them. And that's a lot of times it's because we receive bad advice from them. In chapter 12, in verse 26, chapter 12 and verse 26 of Proverbs, the righteous should choose his friends carefully. The way of the wicked leads them astray. So we need to be careful who are our friends, because we can receive bad advice from them and be led astray. And that's certainly true among Christians as well. Christians can sometimes give terrible advice. And we would hope that that would not be true. But as soon as the words come out of our mouth and we say, well, I think this is what you should do, and we're not pointing to Scripture, that a lot of times that gives away that maybe we don't have the right advice if we're not really pointing to the Word of God, because when we start talking about what we think, and we get into a dangerous territory. Christians can sometimes not give great advice when we're not seeking God's will, and we don't have an emphasis on spiritual things. We're emphasizing the way that we think and the way that we feel and the way that we react to something emotionally. And sometimes we assume, because, well, you know, he's the same age as I am, and he's got children the same age as mine, and they, you know, he likes Star Wars, I like Star Wars, we both root for the same football team. You know, we've got so many things that are in common. You know, certainly that person is going to have some great advice for me. That may not be the case. It may not even be that just because you find somebody that has a lot of the same interest as you, that is the person that you want to be around. It may be that that is not the one that God would want you to be friends with. So the point is that we need to carefully choose our friends based on spiritual things, not temporal things, not things that the world would be thinking about. Choose your friends carefully, because you're going to receive advice from them, and you want to make sure that advice is good and it's godly and it's God's will. So choose friends that will help you go down the right path and not lead you astray. We talk many times about the association that we have together here as Christians, and what is one thing that we want to do when we come together and whenever we spend time around each other? We want to help each other go to heaven. That's the number one thing, is we want to help each other go to heaven. Our families, that should be what our family relationship is about, helping each other go to heaven. And that doesn't happen when we're with the wrong type of people that we receive bad advice. Solomon says to stay away from evil friends. You will find trouble when you are with them. Chapter 24, verses 1 and 2, do not envy wicked men. Do not desire their company, for their hearts plot violence and their lips talk about making trouble. Many times we envy the people of the world because maybe they have more money than we do. They have some kind of success. You may have seen this past week that the president of Amazon is having some trouble. Now you think about how much money you must have if you're the president of Amazon, because you've probably bought something from Amazon. I bet everybody here has bought something from Amazon at one time or another. But he cheated on his wife. His wife found out about it. There was no prenuptial agreement, so he's going to have to give half of everything that he has to his wife. That's what's been in the news this week. And so do you look at that person? Do you envy him? Well, he's obviously made a very unwise decision in the way that he betrayed his wife, and he was immoral. But sometimes people don't look at those type of things. They look only at the money. They look only at what success that person has in the world, and they envy that person. Psalmist says, don't envy wicked men, and don't don't just not envy them, don't desire their company. Sometimes we want to be around those who are successful, who are rich, who are powerful, because we're hoping some of that will rub off on us, or we're hoping that maybe they'll share some of that with us. Too many times people find trouble because they go along with the crowd. And I can remember many times when I was growing up, my mother warning me about different people, and she was right, because there were times when I was influenced to do things in the company of others that I would not have thought of to do myself if it had just been me. And you know, if I got into trouble and I told my mom and dad, well, it wasn't my idea, you know how they were understanding about that. You know, if I went off and did something wrong and I said, well, it wasn't my idea. No, well, you did it and you decided to be around those people. You decided to be influenced by them when I told you that they were going to get you in trouble. And too often, we don't refuse to get away from the foolishness of our friends, even though we know that we should. Because we don't want to seem strange. We don't want to seem different. We don't want to be the only one that's not going to participate in something. And so the answer is, don't desire to be in these people's company. When people are interested in engaging in things that are hurtful and harmful and sinful and questionable, you know, why would we want to be in their company? The reason we want to be in their company is because we don't want to be different. And that we have that peer pressure many times. And it's not just those that are young that experience that. Some of you may remember a few years ago when I went to Japan with my job. And one of the friends that I worked with who knew I was going over there, he said, Randy, they're going to be offended over there when you don't drink. Because he knew that everywhere that we went that I didn't drink. And he said, those people in Japan, those high-ups at Konica and Ulta, they are going to expect you to drink and you're going to offend them if you don't. And that wasn't true. They did not seem to be offended in the least. I told the person that was facilitating our trip at the beginning of the trip that I didn't drink, and he was respectful of that everywhere that we went. But what if I'd been concerned about that? Well, I really don't want to offend the president of my company. I don't want to offend these that have invited me over here to participate in this. It's an honor for me to be over here, so I want to do everything that would be deemed appropriate. Sometimes we fall into that. We fall into peer pressure. And Solomon says that the answer is, don't even desire to be in the company of those that are going to pull you in the wrong direction. Think enough about God to get away from that situation. And if you're in a situation like that, be strong and stand up for God and God's will. We have a lot of advantages as Christians when we have righteous friends. The benefits of having a righteous friend is that they will be your friend in your darkest hour, that they won't leave you in times of trouble. Many in the world will leave you when you're in trouble, but they will. Those that are your true friends, that are your Christian friends, will stand beside you through difficulties. In chapter 18, verse 24, it says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." We can have a large number of friends. If you're on Facebook, you may have thousands of friends. And I'm not really that selective about who I decide I let be my friend on Facebook. You know, Jarrell's more selective about it. You know, just this person friended me. Oh, go ahead. But if you've got 34 friends in common, you know what? It couldn't be any harm. But when we think about Facebook, you know, are those really your friends? Maybe a handful of them are. And some of them are people that you may know through somebody else, but you really don't know them. They're not somebody that you would ever call up when you were in trouble. What Solomon is talking about here is these people that are really your close-knit group. We may have a handful of those. And that true friend is the one that is few and far between that you would be seeking in a time of trouble. Verse 17 of chapter 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So this is not somebody that's a fair-weather friend. This is not somebody that's just going to be there when you can be lots of fun. It's somebody that is going to be there and stand by you whenever you go through something that's traumatic. It may be that you're going through something in your family. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe there's other things going on that are very hurtful to you and serious, and you need somebody to pray with you. You need somebody to encourage you, somebody to be there, to listen. And we should be concerned that we have those kind of friends in our life. True friends will help us. They will stay with us. And they will not encourage us to compromise our faith. And if we have friends that are trying to make us do something that we know that we shouldn't, what should you do about that? Should those people really be your friends? Should they be the ones that you hang around? You know, in my line of work with Konica Minolta, sometimes, and this is true of other businesses as well, you may hear the comment that sometimes you need to fire a customer because that customer is really taking up way too much of your time, that they're too high maintenance. There may be some reason that this is not a very good relationship. It's a toxic relationship, and we would be better served. And it goes against the principles that you would think you would have in business, that you never want to lose a customer. Well, you may have that customer that you want to lose because of whatever reason. And as Christians, the most important thing in our life should not be that how many friends we have on Facebook or how many people know our name or how many friends we have in the world. But the quality of those relationships, the quality of those friendships, and whether or not those friends are going to help us go to heaven. We need to know that having righteous friends, there is a great benefit in that. Our life will be better if we will do that. And that's what the book of Proverbs is about. The book of Proverbs is Solomon telling his son, here's how you can have the good life now, and here's how that you can have the good life in the future. In verse 20 of chapter 13, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Again, this is telling us that if you hang out with fools, then you're going to suffer harm. You have a better life by choosing good friends. You will become more wise if you are around those who are wise. And I know kids don't really like this, but kids need to understand that their parents have more wisdom than they do. And we can learn a lot from our parents that will help us in the future. They may be able to tell us mistakes that they made. They may be able to tell us, don't go down this direction because I've been that direction before and I know what awaits for you there. Solomon's wisdom here is over 3,000 years old, but it still has great value today. It hasn't worn out. It's not obsolete. It hasn't expired. And the same thing with our parents' wisdom. Our parents' wisdom when we're children, especially when we're teenagers, it has great value, even though it's maybe 20, 30 years since they've been in your shoes. They can still remember that. And sometimes teenagers especially think that they know everything. One of my favorite jokes that I heard a long time ago was about Abraham and Isaac, and how old was Isaac when Abraham was told to go offer him? Well, we don't know, but we assume that he was 12 or under, because if he had been a teenager, it wouldn't have been a sacrifice. So that's the joke. What does that mean? It means that teenagers are a handful sometimes. Teenagers cause a great deal of grief, and it's because when you turn 13, somehow all the wisdom of the world suddenly comes into your head and that you know everything. Well, is that true? No, of course it's not. Solomon is giving wisdom here that needs to be understood. It needs to be taken in. And our parents' wisdom has great value, even though we may think that they are so old they couldn't know anything. Chapter 27, verse 17 says, iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. A good, righteous friend is going to make you a better person if they tell you what it is that you need to hear. And if you grow by surrounding yourself with the right people, it's going to be very helpful to you. One of the reasons that we need to spend as much time together as possible is because of this attribute of a friendship, that we sharpen one another, we make each other better. And the more time we spend with each other, the more we can sharpen each other. And if the only time that we see each other is within these four walls, then we're really not getting the benefit that we can receive from our relationship. We need to choose friends who are going to sharpen our lives, not have the opposite effect and dull our minds. We need to choose Christians who will sharpen us spiritually. We also need to maintain godly companions. Good friendships don't really grow and prosper on their own without work. They require time, it requires effort, it requires consideration, and friendships are easily destroyed. And this is another subject that Solomon talks about in the book of Proverbs. How are we going to maintain our friendships? How are we going to maintain our relationships? Well, one of the things Solomon warns us about is the power of our words. And we've talked about that in previous lessons. We have to watch our words. In chapter 26, and verse 18, it says, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, was I not joking? Now, this is really an outrageous picture, isn't it? The way that you can destroy a friendship is to be reckless with your words. Here, the one that is considered the friend is the one that is throwing, painful and harmful barbs at somebody else, but then justifies himself by saying he was just joking. Some of you have seen the movie Tangled, and if you remember in Tangled, the woman who is raising Rapunzel, her name is Mother Gothel. And in some of the songs that she sings, in her interaction with Rapunzel, she constantly insults her. And she follows that up and says, but you know I love you. I'm just saying this because I love you. And when you listen to those words, it's hurtful. You know that it's hurtful. I heard recently someone teaching a class, not here but somewhere else, where in an illustration they called out one of the young people in the class, and they were talking about kids that are bad influences and mentioned this person by name that was in the class. And the teacher said, now he's looking around like I'm talking about somebody else and doesn't realize that this applies to him. And then he followed that up and he says, but I can say that about him because he knows I love him. Well, you've just called him out. You've just publicly embarrassed him. But you follow that up by saying, oh, I was just joking. That's exactly what Solomon is saying here. And those of us that are sarcastic, like I can be, sometimes our sarcasm can go too far. Sometimes our desire to be funny can end up insulting someone. And Solomon says, I want to read this passage again, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows in death, so is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, was I not joking? What Solomon is saying is, don't be reckless with your tongue. Don't be reckless with your words. Here is the, quote, friend whose words are so painful because, well, I'm just kidding, I'm just joking. Have you ever noticed that when someone says that they were just joking, that it doesn't fix the barbs, it doesn't fix the arrows, it doesn't fix the hurt feelings? And back to that illustration that I just used about the person teaching the class, a brother did approach him about that after the class and said, you need to apologize to that young man, and he did. But it still hurts. It's still embarrassing. The point is, even if you think you're just joking, don't joke if the comedy involves saying something hurtful. Those kind of things end up destroying relationships and harming relationships. Watch your words. If you want to maintain godly companions, watch your words. Be considerate. In verse 25 of chapter 17, seldom set your foot in your neighbor's house, otherwise he will get sick of you and hate you. That's an interesting proverb, isn't it? Don't wear out your welcome is the way that we would say that. If you want to have good friends, don't wear out your welcome. And, we have, different ways of communicating today. Back in the past, it would, my father grew up in a time when he would go around to people's houses and he would drop in and he would visit. And, nobody drops in on anybody anymore, but they will call you. They will text you. And I get, texts at any time of day. My mother was relating to me a couple of years ago, a sister that she worships with that calls her all the time. I mean, all the time, several times a day. And it was somebody that my mother was trying to help, was trying to counsel, trying to be a good sister to her. But my mom says, she's wearing out her welcome. She's calling me too much. And, we do have the ability to block calls today, don't we? And we don't want to do that to each other. What Solomon is saying is good friends respect each other's time. Yes, I'd like to talk to all of you. I don't want to talk to you all the time. I can't, talk at all times. We have responsibilities. We have work. We have school. We have family. We've got other things. I know that there have been different times that I have called one of you, and you might say, we're about to eat dinner right now as a family, and so can I call you back later? I said, no, you've got to talk to me right now. No. Of course, you do. You've got a life. You've got things. You've got responsibilities. You call me back when it's convenient for you. We want to be considerate that way. Isn't that interesting that Solomon points that out to his son? The problem today is that when, what Solomon is saying is he's trying to teach his son to have some good manners. And it's hard today to teach anybody good manners because there's nobody exercising good manners. There's no example of it that you can point out to anybody. But we can read about it. Chapter 27 rather, verse 14 says, he who blesses his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him. There is so much practical advice here. Solomon makes a similar point in this proverb. He's saying again to be considerate. Brendan will tell you about our neighbor who has a car that evidently doesn't have a muffler that he likes to work on a lot. And if we're not awake, we're going to be awake when he leaves for work. That's for sure. And that's not really considerate to be revving up that car in the driveway. But Solomon says, he who blesses a friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him. Think about your relationship and try to be considerate of the other person. In this proverb, he's saying that the person that is rising early in the morning and using a loud voice, he's not really thinking about how annoying that would be to the one that evidently he's trying to bless. I wish you could have heard my father wake us up in the morning and come and sing to us in the morning. We would wake up and get up just so he would quit singing. Solomon is telling us to be considerate. Another thing that to maintain godly companions is to be forgiving, and especially to avoid gossip. There's a lot that's said about gossip in the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 9. He who covers an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. So Solomon is touching on a couple of things here that help us maintain godly friendships. First, when somebody harms us, he's saying you do well to let it go. Essentially, quit assuming the worst and assume the best out of a person instead of assuming the worst out of that person. Gossip, tale-bearing, it doesn't promote friendship. It doesn't show love, and it puts us puts the relationship in danger. The other thing that Solomon says is that you shouldn't refuse to cover the offense. And what people usually do many times in regard to offenses is they want to advertise it to everybody what that person did. And there's no better way to lose a friendship but to tell everybody else about what you think that person has done to you. And it's something that husbands and wives really need to be careful of. Have you ever been around a husband who is bad-mouthing his wife or a wife that's talking bad to others about her husband? It's uncomfortable, isn't it? And is that good for the relationship to tell everybody what problem you have with your wife or what problem you have with your husband? Of course that's not good. And you may do it in the way that you say, well, I'm just asking for advice on how they would handle that. You're really destroying the relationship. Talk to your spouse. Not to someone else. Solomon says, he who covers an offense promotes love. That means you keep that among yourselves. Don't spread an offense around to everyone who has no business hearing about it. Whoever repeats matters separates close friends. And you understand in what we're talking about here that Solomon is saying close friends are very important. That they're very, very beneficial. And whatever we can do to cultivate that relationship, to make that relationship better and not worse, is to our advantage. We need to know the consequences of inconsiderate actions. In verse 19 of chapter 18, Solomon says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a fortress. This is interesting because what this is saying is that after you have destroyed the relationship or after you have come close to destroying it, it's going to be very, very hard for you to repair it. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. Again, referring back to my line of work in the printing business, it's very hard to overcome something, a bad experience that somebody had in the past. Now, Rex is in the banking business. If there's a customer that felt slighted by a teller in that branch 15 years ago, know, they still may hold that against the bank, and it, whatever you try to do to resolve that relationship, even though it was a long time ago, it can be difficult. And in my work, we may have somebody that used a printer that we had, you know, 10 years ago that's seven generations, you know, old. And everything now is better and runs better, and there's been lots of progress. They still remember the bad service that they had on something a long time ago. Psalm is saying that the brother that's offended, the one that you did not follow this advice with, that you gossiped about and that you insulted and said you were joking and you did things that harmed the relationship, and then you decided, well, I'm going to start applying what Solomon said. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to treat people with the kindness and respect and consideration that I'm supposed to. So everybody's now going to come running to you because now you're so nice. Solomon says, that's hard. The brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. We need to let that sink in. We need to realize how hard it is to win back an offended friend. You've heard over and over in business that it's much, much harder to get an old customer back than it is to get a new one. When we violate trust through gossip and inconsiderate acts or hurtful words, we lose friends and may not get them back. We can't take those relationships for granted. We don't need to violate those friendships because it's difficult to restore that. We don't need to turn against helpful friends. Verse 6 of chapter 27, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. This is interesting because we would rather have kisses than wounds. But this is saying that the wounds are better than the kisses. And it's because of who they come from. The wounds of a friend are better. Why? Because they're trying to help. When somebody sits us down, it may be a parent, it may be a companion, it may be a fellow Christian that sits us down and says, Randy, I've got something to tell you, and this isn't going to be easy for you to hear. What does my attitude need to be? Well, I need to have my heart and my ears open. Because I'm about to get wounded, perhaps. But it may be the wound that I need. Don't turn on your true friends when they're trying to help. And too often we burn bridges, we destroy relationships because a faithful friend has enough courage to tell us what it is that we need to hear. But we don't want that. We don't want to be told that we're wrong. We would rather run into the arms of an enemy who's going to tell us, oh, everything's going to be okay. Many are the kisses of the enemy. And those kisses are deceitful. They're not looking out for your best interest, but your friend is. Again, this is something that's very basic. And we understand these principles, but they're a lot harder to apply than they are to talk about. Solomon tells us, choose your friends carefully. Evil friends are going to bring you trouble. Spend time with people who will make you a better person. Because iron sharpens iron. And also seek to build strong relationships with godly people, not the world. And do that by being the type of person that you should be. Be a forgiving person. Be considerate in word and in deed. There's a lot of wisdom in the book of Proverbs that we need to be applying in our lives. If today you have not given your life to Christ, we haven't been talking about what you need to do, but perhaps you've been thinking about that. Perhaps you've been putting that off. You have not been buried in baptism and have your sins washed away. If there's anything that we can do to help you be obedient to the gospel of Christ, we invite you to come while we stand together and sing.